From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me Putri to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Rupiah strengthened before U.S. manpower data announcement. Pandemic propels Indonesia towards multisectoral reforms. Now the news in details. The Indonesian rupiah closed 28 points higher, up to 0.19% at 14,750 rupiah against the U.S. dollar in the Jakarta Interbank Market Friday evening prior to the release of the U.S. manpower data in the night as reported by Antara News Agency. PT TRFX Garuda Berjangka Director Ibrahim Aswaibi on Friday explained that the Federal Reserve has sent across a strong hint that it intends to maintain a low interest rate for a relatively long period of time. Furthermore, many are yet harboring concerns over the strength of the U.S. economic growth. One of the indicators of the U.S. economic recovery is the labor market. The manpower data to be released by the U.S. government on Friday night will likely depict that non-farm payrolls in the U.S. will grow 1.4 million in August as compared to 1.76 million a month earlier. Coordinating Maritime Affairs and Investment Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan affirmed that the COVID-19 pandemic had driven the country towards multi-sectoral reforms despite the wide-ranging impacts of the crisis. Escorted by Antara News Agency, Minister Panjaitan told Australian representatives and investors on Friday that although the COVID-19 pandemic is too painful for many people, this has in fact given the people a blessing by pushing the country towards reforms. He pointed out that the reforms recovered various sectors including health and energy. Speaking in connection with the health sector, the minister noted that the pandemic had encouraged the country to become self-reliant in the pharmaceutical industry. Indonesia has made an important step forward in its satellite of the Republic of Indonesia Satria project, the country's biggest telecommunications satellite to date valued at $550 million, with the signing of a preparatory work agreement between an Indonesian consortium and a French-Italian firm on Thursday. The signing of the agreement on the multifunction satellite project, managed under the Communication and Information Ministry, was between two companies, namely satellite provider PT Satellite Nusantara Tiga, part of the consortium of PT Pacific Satellite Nusantara PSN, and French-Italian aerospace manufacturer Thales Alenia Space TAS. PSN Consortium is the lead contractor and operator of the project. The satellite is envisioned to boost connectivity inclusion in the country, providing free internet connection to 150,000 public facilities, including schools, regional government offices, and health facilities. As reported by JakartaPost.com on Friday, Communication and Information Minister Johnny J. Plate explained, Satria will have a throughput capacity of 150 billion bits per second or GBPS, three times the capacity of the 9 telecommunication satellites that Indonesia currently uses. President Joko Widodo issued a presidential instruction in press to tighten law enforcement and increase public discipline in the application of health protocols to curb transmission of the coronavirus disease. Anki Yudhistia, a presidential spokesperson for social affairs on Friday, has reported by Antara News Agency stated that as part of the efforts to increase public discipline and uphold the law on the implementation of health protocols on COVID-19, the head of state has issued Presidential Instruction No. 6 of 2020. She remarked the instruction was addressed to some ministers, military and police chiefs, head of institutions, governors, district heads, and mayors to monitor the implementation of health protocols and participate in the efforts to prevent and curb the transmission of COVID-19. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. The University of Washington Health Institute forecasts on Friday that U.S. deaths from the coronavirus will reach 410,000 by the end of the year, more than double the current death toll, and that could soar to 3,000 per day in December. As reported by Reuters.com September 4th, the University Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation stated death could be reduced by 30% if more Americans wore face masks, as epidemiologists have advised, but mask wearing is declining. The U.S. death rate projected by IHME model, which has been cited by the White House Coronavirus Task Force, would more than triple the current death rate of some 850 per day. According to data published on Friday in the medical journal The Lancet, a COVID-19 vaccine developed and tested in Russia generated neutralizing antibodies in dozens of study subjects, and while the vaccine often caused side effects such as fever, those side effects were mostly mild. As reported by CNN.com September 4th, Russia drew criticism when it announced the world's first approved coronavirus vaccine for public use in August, even before crucial phase 3 trials had been completed. According to Friday's report in The Lancet, in the phase 1 and 2 studies of the vaccine, which is named Sputnik V, all 76 study participants developed antibodies to the virus that causes COVID-19. The study stated the levels of neutralizing antibody response were similar to the immune response that people had after naturally recovering from COVID-19. The UN nuclear watchdog says Iran now has more than 10 times the amount of enriched uranium permitted under an international agreement. As reported by BBC.com September 5th, the International Atomic Energy Agency, IAEA, said Iran's enriched uranium stockpile had reached 2,105 kilograms, well above the 300 kilograms agreed in 2015. Iran insists its nuclear program is exclusively for peaceful purposes. It comes after Iran gave IAEA inspectors access to one of the two suspected former nuclear sites. The agency said it will take samples at the second site later this month. Last year, Iran began deliberately and publicly reneging on commitments it had made under the International Nuclear Accord signed in 2015 by Iran, China, France, Germany, Russia, the UK, and the US. This included the production of more enriched uranium than it was allowed, although only at enrichment levels far below the required for use in atomic weapons. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news from across the country today. First news comes from Magelang, Central Java. Number of members of the Padepokan Cipto Budoyo farmers' family in the Mount Merapi area of Magelang Regency, Central Java, held the Suran Tutup Nyisor traditions last Tuesday. The leader of the Citrus Hermitage, Angelin, said this tradition was carried out specifically to resist the COVID-19 pandemic. The tradition of Suran Tutup Nyisor as a New Year celebration in the Japanese calendar is carried out every mid-Sura month, coinciding with the full moon, which this year falls on September 2nd, 2020. Symbols of casting off the COVID-19 pandemic are presented in addition to the prayers of the elders of the hermitage on the middle of this sacred puppet show. It is also carried out when the traditional Jatilan parade toured the village three times carrying a number of kitchen utensils. This year, during the Jatilan parade, yellow rice was also sprinkled, apart from striking the crowbar using a muntu or pounder and striking the tampah or big plated bamboo tray using a ladle. comes from Madura. Students of the Madura State Polytechnic Poltera have received support in modernizing the batik machine system from PT Pertamina Persero Champlong Fuel Terminal. Poltera Director Arman Jaya, in a written statement received in Jakarta last Wednesday, said the support would improve the quality of education and community development in the field of batik at Champlong in Madura. The production of modern batik printing tools by Poltera students using a batik machine technology system will be built with Pertamina Corporate Social Responsibility funding. It can later be used by the craftsman community according to the potential of batik in several areas in Madura. Last information is coming from the Central Bangka, Bangka Belitung Island. The Central Bangka Regency Government, Bangka Belitung Island Province, established an anti-pornography village by inviting all elements of society to protect and educate the moral value of the young generation in the region. Eli Irsyah, Assistant One for Governance and Community Welfare of the Central Bangka Regency Government, said in Koba last Tuesday that the role of the village government was needed in forming an anti-pornography village. There were several concepts that need to be applied. Among others, by cooperating with religious leaders and youth to promote religious activities and children's moral education. Listener, that was the news from across Indonesia. I'm Nuku Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Our regular program today in history starts from an event on September 5th, 1945. Yogyakarta Sultanate joined the Republic of Indonesia. On September 5, 1945, Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono IX and Paku Alam VIII declared their full support to Republic of Indonesia, which had just been proclaimed. Their statement was proved by the mandate to Yogyakarta people. The mandate was announced on September 5, 1945. The mandate included three things, namely Yogyakarta Kingdom, which is special region of Indonesia, all affairs of government of special region of Yogyakarta are controlled by Sultan, and Sultan was directly responsible to the President of the Republic of Indonesia. The next event was in 1984, when Adam Malik, former the third Vice President and the National Hero of Indonesia, died. Adam Malik died in Bandung, West Java on September 5, 1984, in the age of 67 years old due to illness. Adam Malik's career began as a journalist and movement activist. When he was young, he was active to participate in the national movement to struggle Indonesian independence through the establishment of Antara News Office. In the Japanese colonial era, Adam Malik was also active in guerrilla in the youth movement to fight for the independence. Adam Malik has become Trade Minister and Foreign Affairs Minister. His highest career was the Indonesian Vice President from 1978 to 1983. The last event in 1949, Robert Walter Monginsidi passed away. Robert Walter Monginsidi was born in Malalayang, now part of Manado, South Sulawesi, on February 14, 1925. Robert Walter Monginsidi was awarded a national hero by the government of Indonesia on November 6, 1973. He was involved in the struggle against the Dutch colonialists in Makassar, who wanted to regain control of Indonesia after the end of World War II through NICA or Netherlands Indies Civil Administration. On July 17, 1946, Monginsidi with Ranggong Daeng Romo and others formed the Indonesian Sulawesi People's Rebel Army or LAPRIS, which further harassed and attacked Dutch positions. He was captured by the Dutch on February 28, 1947, but managed to escape on October 27, 1947. The Dutch recaptured him and this time sentenced him to death. Monginsidi was executed by a firing team on September 5, 1949. His body was moved to the Panaikang Heroes Cemetery in Makassar on November 10, 1950. Apart from being awarded the title of the National Hero, Robert Walter Manginsiri also received the highest honor of the Indonesian state, Bintang Mahaputra or Adi Pradana, on November 10, 1973. His father, Petrus, who was 80 years old at that time, received the award. Walter Manginsiri Airport, now Haluoleo Airport in Kendari, Southeast Sulawesi, is named in honor of Manginsiri, such as the Indonesian Navy ship, Walter Manginsiri Battleship, and the Robert Walter Manginsiri Army Hospital in Manado. And listener, that's today in history. Tune to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that we'll present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today. It's on Belitung Island is a green zone ready to receive tourists. The governor of Bangka Belitung Island, Erzaldi Rosman Johan, confirmed that Belitung Island was ready to receive tourist visits because the COVID-19 health protocols on the island had been implemented properly. To Antara News Agency on Wednesday, Erzaldi said that Belitung Island's readiness to receive tourist visits was evident from the strict health protocols starting from airports, hotels to tourist attraction. In addition, the government has also established the province of Bangka Belitung Island, especially Belitung Island, which consists of two districts, namely Belitung and East Belitung, as green or safe zone from the COVID-19 pandemic. Therefore, Governor Erzaldi advised tourists not to worry about traveling in Belitung. According to Erzaldi, the central government's recommendation that the islands of Belitung be visited is good news for the province of the Bangka Belitung Island, considering that tourism has become an industry that is in great demand, particularly after months of people being prohibited from carrying out activities outside their homes. The province of Bangka Belitung, which is located to the east of the island of Sumatra, consists of two main islands, namely Bangka Island and Belitung Island, as well as hundreds of small islands. The total number of islands in the province is 470 and only 50 islands are inhabited. According to Governor Erzaldi, the province of Bangka Belitung Island has a lot of natural potential, especially beach tourism. Calm seas, clear sea waters, and small islands with fabulous views will be able to restore and refresh the post-pandemic mind. The governor of the Bangka Belitung Island confirmed that Bangka Belitung is ready to welcome tourist visit through hotels that are starting to operate, tourist attractions that are reopening to various culinary choices. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Office Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, today we are going to introduce you as Gempol Pleret, a traditional culinary from Solo. Listener, as Gempol Pleret is one of the legendary Solo culinary delights because there are not many traders selling this culinary anymore. But you don't have to worry if you are already in Solo and want to taste this traditional culinary. Although it is a popular culinary delicacy in Solo, in certain places there are still traders selling this as Gempol Pleret, such as in the Gede Market, Lawayan Market, and in the Manahan Field. Some call as Gempol Pleret is beverage because of its refreshing presentation. But there are also those who call it food because it is filling when enjoyed. The basic ingredients of this typical beverage are rice flour and glutinous rice flour. To make as Gempol Pleret, we have to soak rice flour first. Then it is shaped into small balls like meatballs and then steamed. Therefore, some people call gempol as rice meatball because it is round made of rice and it's white color. According to the story, gempol comes from the word jempol because it uses the fingers. Pleret is also made from rice flour, which is made into dough and then formed into thin sheets resembling wonton. Afterwards, it is also steamed until cooked. Finally, for presentation, in a medium-sized bowl, the gempol pleret is aided with coconut milk, which is made from thin coconut milk and sugar. You can add shaved ice or ice cubes that are broken into small pieces. As a variation, you can also add pieces of jackfruit or green sticky rice tape. For one bowl of as gempol pleret, you only need to pay 5,000 rupiahs. It is quite affordable, isn't it? Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring as Gempol Pleret, a traditional culinary delight from Solo, West Java. We will meet again with other interesting topics. Bye-bye.
Masa laluku nekat Korea.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Well, listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to miscellany. Today, we will inform you about film by Indonesian filmmaker won international awards in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic. Listener, the COVID-19 pandemic that has paralyzed the world of cinema worldwide has not become an obstacle for Indonesian filmmakers to score achievements in their fields. In the midst of this condition, a surprise came from the famous director Joko Anwar, who reported that one of his films that aired in 2019 was awarded at BIFAN 2020. Through his media social account, Joko Anwar said the film Perempuan Tanah Jahanam or PTJ, or known as the international version Impetigore, won an award at the 2020 Bucheon International Fantastic Film Festival or BIFAN, held in Bucheon-si, Korea from July 9, 2020 to July 16, 2020. In the festival, the film Perempuan Tanah Jahanam was rewarded as the Best Asian Film by the Melis International Festivals Federation Award. Melis International Festivals Federation or MIFF Award is an award given to be able to promote and encourage the development of the genre of fantastic films in Asia. BIFAN itself is an annual event dedicated to the biggest lovers of films of horror, thrillers, mysteries, fantasy, and science fiction in South Korea since 1997. Formerly, BIFAN was known as the Pucheon International Fantastic Film Festival or BIFAN, but after 2015 only changed with the name that is known now. Before winning the award at BIFAN 2020, the Perempuan Tanah Jahanam movie had managed to attract world film festivals. For example, the Sundance Film Festival 2019, movie that has been watched by more than 700,000 people, is also included in the list of films that must be watched in the 2019 Sundance Film Festival. And listener, that was Miscellany for today. Thank you for listening. You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World. Welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, we are going to present you a keroncong song entitled Ciptaan Lama. The song Ciptaan Lama was composed by Budiman PJ, which tells about the hope of writers and also artists so that keroncong music is still impressive and sung all the time. The short lyrics of the song have quiet, deep meaning. Its slow rhythm and melodious voice of Wiwik Sumbogo makes the song easy listening. Well, listener, here is Wiwik Sumbogo with keroncong song entitled Ciptaan Lama.
Voice of Indonesia.
Angin dingin menerpa wajahku, daku termangu pandangi dirimu. Malam yang bisu temani diriku, tak terasa titik air mataku. Kisah ini setahun berlalu, oh betapa tak dapat ku lupa. Masih kau kata
dan madu puncak hayalanku akan ku reguk sepuas hatiku. Tapi semua hilang tinggal kesan seiring kata selamat tinggal darimu. Cincin kenangan di jari manisku, teman setia pengganti dirimu. Mengapa harus berpisah terlalu cepat kau pergi dariku? Pertama, angin malam bisikan kepadanya, cintaku hanya untuk dirinya. Ku sadari Tuhan Maha Kuasa, ternyata lebih sayang.
Voice of Indonesia.
Bulan, sampaikanlah rinduku kepada si dia yang ada di seberang sana. Satu minggu tak bertemu, hati ini bagai kehilangan. Dia, dia terakhir kali dalam pertemuan, ku rasa marah padaku. Tapi sungguh ku tak tahu salah apa diriku padanya. Gita rinduku, 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 dia tak pernah tahu. Cemas hatiku, hatiku, hatiku.
siaran RRI. Sekali di udara, tetap di udara. Semenjak 45 tak pernah berhenti. Patuh dan setia berjiwa Pancasila.
Revolusi seluruh bangsa Indonesia dengan jiwa kebangsaan yang murni, hati yang bersih dan jujur serta budi yang penuh kecintaan dan kesetiaan kepada tanah air dan bangsa.
Semua yang kami angkat sawan RRI. Sekali di udara, tetap di udara. Semenjak 45 tak pernah berhenti. Patuh dan setia.
It is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safira Dalla. See you on the next English program.